He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Thursday. It is the January the 18th live edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, a nationwide fee-based only firm. And I'm here with Barry Keiner, chartered financial analyst. And right now it's a split decision in the market. In this corner, we've got the Dow beaten up a little bit, down 55 points. That puts it at 37,212, but it's coming back. It was down over 100 not too long ago. And in the other corner, we've got the heavyweight champion of the world, the NASDAQ, up 117 right now. And I'm going to thank Taiwan Semiconductor. More on that in a bit. The NASDAQ is at 14,973. And splitting the difference in the middle is the S&P 500. It is up 15 points to 4,753. Small caps are flat. You know, small caps are under pressure again after, you know, just a magnificent December. And it looked like maybe they would lead the market in 2024. So far, they've been selling off and taking some of that fluff out of that small cap index. Crude oil's up 31 cents to 72.87. Gold's up $8 to 2015. The 10-year is up 2 basis points. Interest rates continue to climb a little bit. We're at 4.12, and Bitcoin is down 23 to 42,653. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. And I'm going to say that this gain in the S&P or in the NASDAQ is brought to you by Taiwan Semiconductor. To me, that's the biggest news of the day driving the market. Although, you know what? I'm going to have to talk really fast today just to get through
everything.
Oh, my gosh. Everything that is happening between earnings, the World Economic Forum, where did that door plug come from in the Boeing airplane? I mean, we've got so much here. Mm. Initial jobless claims.
Yemen bombings.
Yemen. Mm. Yeah, man. We've got Yemen. We've got, you know, that initial jobless claims, Barry, that's the lowest number since 2022.
Yeah, 187 based on, then, of course, what, I think 200, just over 200 was the estimate. All I know is whoever does those estimates, do they ever get it right?
it must be a hard number to predict. If you're looking for a rate cut, I mean, don't pop the cork anytime soon, because that's a pretty hot number. That the job market remains tight. That's the bottom line. Well, yesterday we had mostly a down day in the market. That down day in the market was brought to you by rising interest rates. We're at 4.12, and that's obviously what's going on here, is the market is recalibrating, moving that rate cut out into the future. Yesterday, the ECB, Christine Lagarde, said, yeah, summertime, all right. Well, there used to be an old saying in San Diego, light a firecracker and then go tuna fishing, because that was about the time the tuna showed up offshore in San Diego. And, you know, that's probably about the time the rate cut will show up, unless things start to slow down. Now, I do know, I read that the Beige Book showed yesterday that we've kind of hit a wall with economic growth, economic activity. And I think there was like the New York State Empire Index that was just crashing here. But that's always a very volatile number from month to month. So suffice it to say, we had a down day yesterday. AMD continues to break out. Unbelievable. Up another 5% today. Inverse ETFs had a very good day yesterday, especially those that track the S&P 500 and the Dow. But then the market did come back late in the afternoon, and as I said, we have a split decision so far today with the NASDAQ up, and it seems to be related to Taiwan Semiconductor, and the Dow down so far today. And, of course, recalibrating that rate cut, I think, further March. It's not going to happen in March. Taiwan Semiconductor, we'll get to that. That's the big earnings release today. Schlumberger's tomorrow. And a few other small banks. And then it gets really, really exciting and intense next week when we start seeing earnings from some of the big tech stocks. Initial jobless claims, 187,000. That's the lowest level since September 24, 2022. And if you remember, I mean, the Fed was still hiking rates at that point in time. And that's a hot number. That continues to be the stickiest part of the inflation puzzle, or the inflation equation. Is that tight job market, which is driving wages up, and it is inflationary in nature. It looks good for Biden, I mean, in an election year, to have a tight labor market, to be still creating jobs. That always is a factor, although I think this year it's going to be more about other issues as opposed to the jobs market. But the economy, that's probably number one or number two on most people's mind.
And continuous claims, I mean, continuing claims only at, you know, just over 1.8 million. It went at 1.845 million was expected. So, you know, it's hard to, you know, hard to have a an economic slowdown or recession when you've got employment, at least those looking for a job, right? If you're looking for one, may not be the job you want, but you can find one. And it's just a, you know, goes to show you from a resiliency standpoint, when you look around the world, you know, the U.S. economy remains on top. So,
and here's what I don't want to hear. I can't find a job. I've looked all over, and I can't find a job. You know, that's pretty hard to make that argument with jobless claims so low and help wanted signs just about. Now, it could be that your profession is, I suppose, if you're in the loan business for homes, that's got to be pretty tough right now. Real estate's got to be very difficult because of the lack of inventory. Housing starts fall. Building permits rise. And it would seem really the only homes coming on the market are new homes, as not a lot of people are willing to trade in their home right now and go somewhere else with the interest rate, the picture.
Yeah, not unless they're a cash buyer. I mean, that's really...
Yes.
Or new homes where builders can offer, you know, different, kind of alternative financing, things of that nature. But, yeah, it's a, for the bread and butter housing market, still those mortgage rates, I think you mentioned them a day or two ago, it being at 6.75 on a 30-year is pretty restrictive.
Yes. Now, why is the Dow down and the NASDAQ up? Well, I'm going to give you a big reason. It's two stocks, basically. This is pretty shocking, really. Humana, okay, which is one of the largest health insurers in the world, it is getting just taken apart today. Now, it's not in the Dow, but CVS is in the Dow, United Healthcare is in the Dow, and this has the healthcare sector of the market. The last time I looked, it was about 21% of our economy is healthcare. People working in healthcare, our money going to healthcare, all the drug companies, all the medical device companies, all the HMOs.
U.S. budget.
Yeah, that's a massive sector. And to see Humana down 11.3% today, why? Because they're cutting their profit outlook on higher medical costs. And if there is one cost that seems to go up every single year without ever coming down or ever leveling off, it would seem to be that it's medical cost. And, you know, that's good news for medical companies, but it's bad news for a company like Humana, who is a consumer and has to pay for those medical costs, supported by the premiums that they're insured pay. But at the end of the day, their profits are getting slimmer and slimmer. their margin getting slimmer and slimmer. Humana down 11%. Now, look at the fallout here. CVS, which is in the Dow, is down 4.4%. So pretty much everything you're seeing in the Dow is related to this news out of Humana. And United Healthcare out of Minneapolis, they're not being hit as hard, but they're down 4.2%. And that's another member of the Dow Jones Industrial Average. So there is your disaster of the day. And on the upside, it is Taiwan Semiconductor. Not a member of the Dow, but look at that. It's breaking out. It's up 6.8%. You got a lot of geopolitical risk owning Taiwan Semiconductor, which we'll talk about in a moment. But that is lifting the NASDAQ. And it's lifting the chip stocks, especially AMD, up another 5%. We'll be right back. To the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, Humana, obviously a worse stock now. And on the other hand, side of the street, you've got Taiwan Semiconductor. It was up 20% at one point in the after hours. Now it's up 7%. It's hitting resistance there at 110. My issue with Taiwan Semiconductor, and we've owned it. I mean, we've owned it in the past. They have kind of a corner on the market as far as building the chips, but you've got a lot of geopolitical risk there. You never know.
Yeah, it's that first name in yeah. Taiwan Semiconductor, right, that that holds it back a bit, right?
I'll remember where I was when I heard that Russia was invading Ukraine, okay? Nobody really expected it to happen on that day, but you kind of knew it was an inevitable event that would take place at some point in time. And then, of course, I remember right where I was when it was announced that Hamas was invading Israel. And, you know, I mean, even Elon Musk has said it's in their charter. It's in their it's in their beliefs that there's one China. And it just seems to me that at some point in the future, who knows when, that China will invade Taiwan and try to reunify China. And, of course, they're threatening all the time. They're rattling their saber all the time. The other part that makes it very worrisome is the condition that China's in currently, which, you know, not a good economy, and their stock market in a bear market. Sometimes that makes speeds things up a little bit. So, anyways,
desperation creates creates yes. those types of events. A lot
and
of time.
I just don't want to add that geopolitical risk. Now, the fact of the matter is, if we do wake up someday or sometime in the middle of the night, we hear that China is invading Taiwan, that's going to disrupt the entire semiconductor sector. You've got a lot of geopolitical risk in owning NVIDIA. In owning AMD, because their chips are made, for the most part, in Taiwan. And it's a slow process to diversify. Taiwan is building a plant in Japan. Taiwan is building a plant in Phoenix. But it takes time. This is a very, very high-tech industry. And I read today that they're behind the schedule on their Phoenix plant. Just because it takes time. So
one anyway, a lot of different reasons too. They couldn't get skilled workers. They've certainly had a lot of stops and starts in that project. And you know, think about what would happen to the global economy also. For, you know, not just on the semiconductor front, but think about the sanctions, right, that have been imposed upon Russia, right? And if you had world sanctions potentially put on the growth engine of China, right? Well, you know, what does that do from a global economic standpoint
as
well?
If China took over Taiwan, would we buy products from Taiwan Semiconductor? I don't know. There's a don't forget, the auto industry came to a screeching halt when there was a shortage of chips. So it's in everything. It's in consumer, it's in Target, it's in Walmart, it's everywhere. And but I just wonder, what would Taiwan semiconductor stock do if all of a sudden news came out that, you know, the fighting had begun in Taiwan? That's a major battle. And number two, would the U.S. go in and help defend Taiwan? Well, you know what? Those are all things that you have to play out in your mind, because it's a very likely scenario at some point in the future. Now, in the meantime, they're meeting in Davos trying to build a kumbaya kind of world, right? The imagine kind of world that John Lennon sung about. Is it possible? Well, you know, since they've been meeting there, you've had the invasion of Russia, Ukraine, you've had the invasion. It's pretty hard to get global cooperation. The problem is, Barry, is the good countries will cooperate. But I don't think China and Russia and Iran are going to cooperate with Klaus Schwab and the World Economic Forum. But, you know, in the meantime, they're making deals over there, and it is a kumbaya kind of thing that they're trying to create. Sam Altman said some things interesting, some things yesterday that were kind of interesting. AI is a big subject.
It was a pretty interesting interview.
Well, he said, Altman announced that coming products in AI, now think about this for a minute, are going to make a lot of people uncomfortable due to quite a lot of individual customization that can result in different answers based on your values or your user location. Does truth change because of my values or because of where I'm located? I mean, I look at truth as immovable. It's immovable. It's truth. Well, I know the whole argument. Your truth is different than my truth. No.
What takes everyone's biases into account, I guess, right? I mean, and, you know, just because we think stuff doesn't mean it's right. So the answer, you would think the answer should be somewhat static, right?
Yeah.
But how we get there might be different.
Well, I look to God as omniscient, and he is the author of all truth. So anything outside of that is man's interpretation for me. So, anyways, that's a pretty scary deal. And here's an even scarier deal. They just signed a big deal, OpenAI, which is Sam Altman, with the U.S. military, using artificial intelligence. You just, you know, how can that be tweaked? Can it go wrong? Well, yeah, there's a lot of risk there. All right, we know where the Boeing part was made that landed in the teacher's backyard one day. I don't know if he was out cooking burgers or what, but a door plug lands in his backyard. And, of course, the National whatever it is safety board goes and gets the thing and wraps it all up in plastic and sends it off to the lab. And they know where it was made. It was made in Malaysia. Now, that's going to get the conspiracy theorists going, because Malaysia's had its share of planes that just went off the radar.
That Malaysia airline, yeah, first thing that comes to mind.
Yes, and I think the plane shot down by Russia was a Malaysian airliner. Who was on the plane, we'll never know. But anyways, they know that the door part was made in Malaysia. And it was shipped to Boeing's assembly line in Renton, Washington, before it ended up in some guy's backyard, you know, in Portland, Oregon. So anyways, that's at least a start. And, you know, I've read different theories on what's wrong at Boeing. And one of the theories is that they've jobbed too much stuff out, where they lose control, okay, over the quality. And to hear that it's made in Malaysia, that's a little bit disturbing to me. Why are we having parts that are this important made so far away? How much does it cost to ship this stuff from Malaysia, which is, I don't know, a 21-hour flight or something like that? So anyways, at least
we haven't had this problem before. I mean, that's the other thing that blows my mind. It's like, you know, aviation isn't new. Well, we haven't had these parts flying off in the past.
No, but Boeing has done a lot of outsourcing. A lot, and there's your globalization. There's your argument against one of them. against globalization. You get in the plane where parts are made from all over the world, put together in one plane by the world, and what can go wrong? We'll be right back. This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show. Welcome back to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. That something in the air is a door plug coming out of a Boeing, which created havoc and panic inside that airplane. You got to read that some of those people's story.
When you knew it had to be pretty intense, given the the CEO was basically in tears, remember, at that press conference, and I'm like, he must have had some inside info in terms of hearing those stories initially. And I mean, now, I think he hit it on the head in terms of you're using, when you're getting parts from all over the world and throwing them all together, right? I mean, that's one of those processes where you'd like to have pretty standardized, right? And in good oversight. I mean, it's hard to oversee a handful of different construction areas, right, all at one time. I mean, it seems like it would be bound to happen.
Yeah, all of that outsourcing. There's an upside and there's a big downside. Well, Piper Sandler, they're chiming in. And by the way, the market has improved here. The Nasdaq is now up 148. And the Dow is almost even now. It's down about 40 points, despite a big, big spill in Humana, which is bringing down the other healthcare stocks. Okay, Piper Sandler calls for an S&P 500 year-end target of 5,050. So they're kind of right there, a little bit underneath the consensus. But, if you do the math, with the S&P 500 right now at almost 4,800, that's only 200 points. I'm doing the math. That's 4% upside potential, 5% upside potential, according to Piper Sandler. They say that 2023 was overdone, and so 2024 has kind of got to be a little bit of a consolidation year to get back to where we belong from a valuation point of view. Okay, the big IPO coming up. We haven't had any big IPOs, and it's almost like, have we thought of everything? Is there anything new out there?
I was trying to guess which one you're talking about.
Well, I don't know if it's that big, but Reddit. Okay, Reddit got a lot of publicity when they teamed up on GameStop. Drove some hedge funds, billion-dollar hedge funds out of business.
Have drove Bitcoin for, a handful of years as well in certain ways and instances.
That was one of the most incredible things I saw during my career so far in the industry, is that that run in GameStop, when it became a member of the S&P 500 just based on the size. That's one of the biggest raids ever done in the market. So Reddit plans to launch in March. It is a social media company. I haven't used Reddit hardly at all. I'm not that familiar with it, but I think it's pretty popular. It's based on how many people are in there, and the advertising that you can sell those people. Well,
I wonder if they're going to be able to pump it up inside the platform, right? How about that?
They could pump up the stock and drive all the short sellers out. Elf Beauty is going into the S&P Mid Cap.
Well, there we go.
400. Well, it's 8.5 million. So their definition of a mid cap, I guess I'll have to see what their definition is these days. I still consider that pretty much a small cap myself, just looking at my database, and I kind of
And its relative size, you know what I mean? It's like, you know, in the old days, right, you had, you know, the textbook, and it was, you know, there was an actual range for the, you know, for the, for, you know, an $8 billion company fits in this space, right? But now you got to think of it as relative value, right, against all the other publicly traded companies.
Yes, exactly. So, I mean, that's a feather in their cap. They're moving up. Hey, look, that's what you're hoping when you buy an emerging growth company, that someday they enter into the small cap 600. That's the first step. And to be representative of an index is a big feather in your cap. Then they move into the mid-cap index, which ELF is doing. And then maybe someday they move into the S&P 500, which is the large cap index. But they got a long ways to go. But anyways, that's a feather in their cap. Now, here's a story that stood out to me. Shell is going to cut hundreds of jobs to boost their performance. But what caught my eye is where they're going to cut. It's going to be in the low carbon solutions unit. And at same time, Shell is suing, I believe it's the Netherlands, because the Netherlands ordered Shell to cut their carbon emissions by some amount that cannot be achieved over the next 10 years. They are taking the Netherlands to court on that. That'll be interesting. But there's been a lot of things happen here in this EV industry. And I was talking to somebody who was familiar with how the Teslas did when Chicago had their big blizzard. And those cars, your range goes down almost to like 50 miles, all right?
As it gets cold? Wow.
Yes, and you can't charge them. If maybe in a home, in a heated garage, but if you pull up to a charger and it's 5 degrees outside, you can't charge your car. So all of those electric vehicles were stranded, many of them, during that blizzard. Your range plummets in cold weather like that. So there's another issue. You know, we've always said, what if you're in Miami, there's a devastating hurricane coming, you're not going to get out of Miami on one charge.
And, yeah, it's hard enough to get gas during those times, let alone, right, charging.
What is the line going to be like? You know, so there's a lot of issues. Hertz, Morgan Stanley is upgrading the stock because they got rid of their EV fleet. I don't know.
And
in the meantime,
I mean, ESG, right, has certainly been rethought, put it nicely, over the last few years.
Yeah, the whole move away from fossil fuels is being rethought. I happened to hear Vivek, you know, he gave a very passionate speech, and he's all in on coal and fossil fuels and all that. And, you know, and he's a Silicon Valley guy. He's a biotech guy. Well, in the meantime, Tesla plans to take the Cybertruck on a tour of China. Do you think Cybertruck will sweep through China and everybody going to want a Cybertruck? We'll see. I mean, will a Midwest farmer be throwing bales of hay to the cattle out of a Cybertruck? I can't see it, but you never know.
Part truck, part DeLorean, right?
Yeah. That's what it looks like. Cowboy and designer jeans, maybe. Apple pops after Bank of America upgrades on AI. Well, you know what? If there's going to be a new thing for Apple, it's going to have to be AI. An electric car is not going to do it. Another widget on the iPhone is not going to do it. A better camera is not going to do it. It's going to have to be AI, and I'm sure that Tim Cook knows that he's got to do something. I'm sure they have things in progress and working on it, but they haven't really come out with any AI plans or new things. And so, anyways, Bank of America says that they think that they will. They're calling it Vision Pro. Their Vision Pro. Is that the thing you'd strap on your head?
Yeah, that's the old, VR device. Of course, right now, I think that one costs in the $3,500 range. And, you know, it's just, I mean, it's, I mean, Google Glass didn't take off. I mean, it's just hard to, I mean, I saw a commercial recently where folks are exercising with that on their head. And I'm thinking, you know, the last thing I want to do is be sweating into this, you know, $3,500 device.
Yeah, I don't see that being a game changer at all. Okay, now, as we talk about electric vehicles, now the federal government, they're going all in. I mean, of course, California is going all in. New York is going all in. They're going to award $150 million for projects in 20 states to repair or replace nearly 4,500 existing electric vehicle charging ports. The overall goal is to aggressively expand the nationwide network of chargers to 500,000 by 2030, which includes high-speed chargers no more than 50 miles apart, 50 miles apart on key highways. So that is the other big factor in the conversion to electric vehicles is the infrastructure. The infrastructure. So anyways, that's where that's at. Okay, now when we come back, we'll take a look underneath. We'll peek under the covers of the market here and see what's going on. I sense that the tech, I'm going to guess that semiconductors are probably having a good day on that Taiwan Semi news. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show on a very busy day. A lot of news out there. NASDAQ roaring right now, up 171. Dow only down 6 points right now. Well, I'm going to go to the NASDAQ first here and see what is taking place here. What is driving that NASDAQ higher? Believe it or not, the high-tech company of Fastenal is number one, Barry, up 6.6%. What does Fastenal make?
Auto parts, right? Don't they make parts?
No, it's more. No, no, buildings. Building supplies, fasteners,
yeah,
bolts,
that's right. And they have like
nuts.
Don't they have like a machine? You can like almost like a vending machine on them, I thought.
Washers. Well, big. When you're building a skyscraper in downtown New York or whatever. Now, they're out of Minnesota, Fastenal, Winona, Minnesota. They operate 1,683 construction supply stores, and there's your stock of the day in the NASDAQ. It just goes to show you all this AI and the NVIDIA chips and everything. You still need nuts, bolts, washers, and other products. Stock breaking out today, it's up 7%. Now,
and their earnings, I mean, they beat earnings by a penny. And beat their revenue by $10 million, so not a huge beat. It must be there's got to be something on the must be something on the forward guidance that has to be driving that.
And I mean, isn't that an indicator too of the economy? I mean, that's a building company. You got to be having construction taking place for them to be flourishing and hitting new highs like that. So that kind of is a good indicator on the overall economy. Now, behind Fastenal, it's the chips, just as I thought. You know, when Taiwan Semiconductor goes up, it pretty much lifts
everything else.
All the chip stocks. KLA is number two. They're up 4.2%. They make, obviously, equipment for making chips. Lam Research. Now we're getting to a lot of our names. LRCX is up 3.7%. Broadcom is up 3.5%. Broadcom's probably the stock of January for me so far this year. It's really had a and AMD, those two. Intuitive Surgical is up 3.3%. AMD is falling back a little bit. It's only up 2.9% now. Apple's up 2.8. Qualcomm, what do they all have in common? Pretty much they're in the semiconductor universe. NVIDIA is up 2.5%. And by the way, NVIDIA continues. You pull up a chart, that's another breakout today on NVIDIA. That's a new all-time high on NVIDIA now at $575 per share. Their market cap now is $1.4 trillion. That's where NVIDIA is. By contrast, AMD is at $266 billion. So you see the kind of opportunity that there is for AMD with NVIDIA so far ahead of them in market cap and market share. There's definitely a big pie there to cut into.
And NASDAQ back up above 15,000. So we're at 15,025. Yes. I just noticed that those first two numbers changed from 14.
Yes. Okay, now what else do we have here? Apple, Qualcomm, ASM, lithography. There you go. It's all chip-related stocks. Intel, Micron. You get clear down to Meta Platforms, which is a non-chip stock, but definitely a tech stock in the social media. On the bottom of the list has been some of the leaders this year. Some of the low PE stocks are underwater today, like Dollar Tree, down 2.8, Synopsys down 2, JD.com down another 1.8%. China continues, their stocks at least, their market, their economy, not doing well. Tesla down 1.3%. Another bad day for Tesla. Not a good chart on Tesla. A lot of controversy right now surrounding Tesla. Well, there always is, but I guess a little more than normal. S&P 500, Humana. That's a disaster. That's a big surprise. Humana out of Louisville, Kentucky is down 11.4%. And the credit card, Discover down 7.2, Kohl's down 4.4, CVS down 4.3, Centene, which is another healthcare, down 3.5. Why would I ever want to own a bank? KeyCorp is down 3.5. And United Healthcare, which we do own because we don't want to own all tech stocks. We don't want to own all, weight loss stocks. Somebody has got to take care of us all. But United's down 3.5% today. Now, over at the on the upside of the S&P 500, let's see if there's anything that's non-tech here. Caesars Entertainment having a good day, up 4.5%. Granger, which is kind of does the same Fastenal does.
Granger's
up 4.3%. You got to have nuts and bolts. Look. If I get a box on my front doorstep and some assembly is required, you're going to have all kinds of nuts and bolts and a cheap little Allen wrench that's not worth a darn. Trying to put something together, that's just the way it is. At the end of the day, you still got to have the human touch and you still got to have nuts and bolts.
And maybe a few left over after you get done.
Well, who's counting? The bike falls apart when you get on it because you left out a nut. Important nut. The nut left out a nut. Well, anyways, if you'd like to get 2 free weeks of the newsletter, look, you know what? I think that the Best Stocks Now app is a revolutionary product. I really believe that because I use it. It's the only app that I know of, the only quant system that includes valuations, which are absolutely critical in the stock selection process. I don't know how other quant systems can't take into account valuation, but they don't. So you can get 2 free weeks of the newsletter, which also lets you try out the app because I put the password for the app in the client newsletter and the live trading newsletter. They get access to the app. And in that newsletter is the login for beststocksnowapp.com and the password, which changes every week. So there's another added benefit for getting 2 free weeks of the newsletter at GundersonCapital.com. If you would like to set up an appointment with us, 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody. We'll be right back.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.